Hello, and welcome to Detox to Rehab's True Stories of Addiction podcast series. Today's guest is Susanna as she shares her story of recovery.
Well, I was born in Baltimore, but I was raised in South Carolina. You know, I was sexually abused as a child, and I don't think that that's what made me an addict, but I think it's something that definitely put me on the road to, you know, to become one. My parents divorced when I was like 6 years old, and I took that really hard, and I started acting out a lot. My mom did not know how to deal with me. She would, you know, send me to her family in Mexico. She would send me to family that I had in Washington, D.C. And no one else really knew how to deal with me either because I would make it impossible. So I would always be sent back, you know, to my mom. And I also spent a fair amount of time in, like, you know, psychiatric wards when I was a kid. I would do things like try to kill myself. I chased my friend with a butcher knife one time. Like, I mean, just crazy stuff, like just totally, you know, off the wall stuff for like a young child to be doing. I started using drugs and alcohol when I was about 13 or 14 years old. I had a baby girl when I was 13 and I had to give her up for adoption because I could not take care of her. It was just, I just couldn't do it. I tried for 6 months and then I said, you know, I can't do this. And I had her grandmother, you know, come and get her. And after that, I really started drinking and partying and I wouldn't go to school. And a truancy would be knocking on my mom's door, like, you know, where's your daughter? We're gonna find you. You know, just a lot of, you know, chaos. And I caused my mom a lot of, you know, like I really wore my mom down. When I was 16, I got pregnant again. And this time I had a son. And because I was unable to keep my first daughter, I was like, I'm keeping him. Like, I'm gonna take care of him. And I'm not gonna have another child that, you know, I give up for adoption. Me and his father ended up, you know, splitting up because it was crazy. It was like, you know, young kids trying to be adults. And it was just, you know, really bizarre sometimes looking back on it, you know, the way that things used to be. After me and my boyfriend split up, I met another guy and I'm pretty sure was already using heroin. And I would use anything to get high. I would, you know, take Robitussin, I would, you know, take Adderall, you know, anything to get high to take me out of myself. He wanted to do it every day. And I said, well, aren't we gonna get addicted to this? Like, isn't this gonna be bad? And he was like, I found out what it was to be sick for the first time. And when I felt that, I was terrified. I was just absolutely terrified of withdrawal. I was gonna make sure that I never had to go through that. I stole from my mom. I wrecked her cars. I gave her cars to my drug dealer to drive. Like, yeah, I did a lot. I put my mom through a lot. And my mom is a doctor, so she went to get me involuntarily committed. And I talked my way out of it the first time, but the next time, I had just turned 18. They put the order through when I was 17, so I had to go to an adolescent treatment center. I woke up and I had, you know, my hands cuffed and there were police there and they were like, you're going to rehab. So I went to rehab for 4 months. My mom and my boyfriend took care of my son while I was there. When I was in there, you know, he wrote me letters every day, like, you know, at least one letter a day. When I got out, we stayed clean for about 2 more months. And then we decided, yeah, you know, maybe we can use like every other day, or maybe we can use like once a week, you know, that kind of thing. Like just ridiculous, unrealistic lies that we tell ourselves, or that I told myself when I was in my addiction. I ended up relapsing again. And then shortly after we relapsed, we found out that, you know, we were pregnant and my son, with my youngest son, that's when I got put on methadone. You know, I know methadone works for some people, but for me, I feel like all it did was kind of give my life some normalcy so that I didn't have to like chase. But at the same time, I wasn't getting counseling, therapy, groups, anything like that. It was like I was just going there every morning and getting my dose and leaving. And that went on for like 6 or 7 years, and I relapsed in between that time, like, you know, on just various things. After 6 or 7 years, I started to get resentful with my boyfriend because he quit everything. And I was like, how did he do it? You know, like, how did he do it? Why can't I do it? You know, I'm still like terrified. And so I start kind of building like a resentment against him, and not that I like wanted to bring him down or anything, but I just felt like every time he talked to me, he was like being condescending, and it was just really difficult. We had other issues, and you know, and we split up, and I had a good job at that time, and we were already in Phoenix by that time. And I said, you know what, I'm just gonna like work on myself for a little while, and you know, I'm just gonna, you know, I thought, you know, I've been in relationships since I was 13, and I'm just gonna, you know, try to have some time for myself, and it didn't work out. 2 months later, I start dating this other guy who is a normie, and that's what we call him, you know, in the program. He made a comment about how I was gaining weight, because with methadone, one of the side effects for me was that I gained weight. And I just want to say, I don't think that he was being rude. I think that he was just like, because he's a very fit and healthy person, I think he was just trying to make a comment. It wasn't mean. I just want to say that. You know, a normal person would say, okay, I'm going to change my diet, you know, I'm going to go to the gym. But me, as an addict, I say, okay, I need to find the easy way to do this. So I started taking Adderall. It didn't work. You know, it was taking too long. And so then I said, well, what else am I gonna do? And at that time, and it's just like so weird, you know, this friend comes up to me and says, you know, you should try meth. And I said, okay, I'm gonna smoke meth until like I lose the weight, and then I'm gonna quit. And it did not work like that. My mom started to catch on, and she started to fight with me a lot. And what I did was I manipulated the situation to my boyfriend to say, look, she's being so mean to me, like, I can't live here anymore, like, you know, it's all her. And so what he did was say, okay, we're gonna get our own apartment. And then I said, but wait, you know, I need to send my kids to live with their grandmother for a little while. In my mind, I'm thinking, like, I'm probably gonna end up dead. I'm never gonna stop, you know, like, and I couldn't quit at that time. Like, I wanted to, but I couldn't. I was, you know, hiding in the bathroom doing it all day. We moved out of my mom's house, and my kids went to go live with their grandmother. And my youngest son's grandmother, who was the mother of the guy that I started using heroin with, that I broke up with, that I was together with for 9 years, she's been in both of my kids' lives since they were born. Even, you know, my child that's not her grandchild, in his life since he was little, and actually had to keep him a few times because of our relapses. And I think she kind of figured out what was going on, but she didn't say anything. She just came to get them immediately. It got to the point where I was stealing from my boyfriend. He felt like he was going crazy because I was acting so paranoid and weird all the time. He would come home from work and the house would be like a mess, and I didn't have a job and I wasn't going to school, and he was just like, what are you doing? I never had any money, and so I resorted to stealing from his credit cards. I stole, you know, purchased things in his name, all so that I could get drugs. He had a suspicion, but one day he was in our apartment, and he said, you know, I have a gut feeling something's wrong. And he went in the bathroom, and he said he felt like God told him, like, go to the bathroom, like, you're gonna find something. And he went to the bathroom, and he found my pipe, and he broke down and started crying, and he was like, it's either me or the drugs. I'm gonna give you a month. And I thought he was bluffing, but he wasn't bluffing. And I couldn't quit, and I didn't want to tell my mom, because I was like, that was like a really shameful thing for me. The fact that I'm using meth is extremely shameful to me at the time. Like, I had just gotten done watching the Breaking Bad series, so that I knew nothing good was gonna come out of it, you know. But I still, you know, I still couldn't quit. He did not want to tell his family, because he knew that if he told his family that they would make it to where he and I were never together again, because they would never accept it. So, but he eventually had to, because he broke down, and he was like, she's doing this. And then, you know, that month later came, and you know, he packed up all my stuff and he took me to my mom's house. And I wish I could say at that point, after not having my kids and not having my boyfriend and, you know, having like psychotic episodes and psychotic breakdowns, that I would say, okay, I'll do anything. But I wasn't willing yet. And that went on for another year and a half. My bottom was walking down the road homeless, wearing shoes that were like way too small for me, haven't had a shower in 3 days, and hearing voices and talking to myself. And I heard a lot of voices, and meth is a very evil drug. My family from Mexico, I had been with them when I was little, and they taught me a lot about God. And I realized, you know, they'd planted a lot of seeds in me. They said, well, let's get you to the Dream Center, the Phoenix Dream Center. And I was like, okay, you know, and they're like, but you have to go to detox first. And I kept going to detox and then leaving detox. And I remember the guy at Community Bridges say, you know, you're just gonna have to come back and do this, so you might as well stay. But I never listened to him. I was, you know, withdrawing from, you know, heroin, methadone, meth. It was just awful. You know, finally, you know, I had been violent with my mom, you know, throughout that year and a half, and she got a restraining order on me. All of a sudden I was like, okay, I'm ready, and I thought everybody should just like give me a chance. I thought she should give me a chance to live with her until I got my bed at the Dream Center. And I went to her house, and she was just like, you know, she just called the cops, and they came and got me. And I had meth on me. And I went to jail. That day I prayed for a safe place to stay for 2 weeks until I got my bed at the Dream Center, and I got it. Not the place that I wanted to go, but God answered. I stayed there for a little while. I learned a lot about God, but I was still double-minded. It was like, you know, one part of me is like, wants to pull me back to drugs. It's like the old me, the new me. It's like, who's gonna win? And, you know, a week or so in, which wasn't very long at all, I'm afraid to say, I relapsed. And I got picked up by my probation officer and taken to jail, and the judge looked at me and he said, you need treatment to where you can't walk out. I'm gonna sentence you to 6 months with the Alpha program. And we started with 20 girls in the Alpha program. We graduated with 10. And I was one of the ones who graduated. I got to shake Sheriff Joe's hand. That was interesting. I got out with help of with a jail volunteer, because I couldn't live with my mom when I got out. One of the jail volunteers really took me under her wing, and she like picked me up from jail and took me to a halfway house and got me clothes and gave me food. My mom, when I got out, she was like, you can't live with me, but I'll drop the restraining order. You can come to work for me. So I started working with my mom, and I worked with my mom for a year. I've stayed clean. And then after that year, I decided that, you know, I would really like to work in the substance abuse treatment field. And so I'm doing that now. I mean, kind of just everything about me changed because I was willing. You know, I got the treatment that I needed. I couldn't go anywhere. I almost feel like I was just like outgrowing that person that I used to be. And my kids this whole time for almost 4 years are living with my ex-boyfriend's mother, and she's like so awesome, you know, just like video chatting with me every week. And she said she was so upset to hear that I was there for 6 months. And it took a while for, you know, my oldest son, he was just, you know, he always like loves me. He always wants to talk to me no matter what. You know, that kid loves me to death. But my youngest son, you know, it took a while for him to actually talk to me. When I went to go see them, we were all sitting in the living room, and he's like, well, at least she's telling the truth now. You know, it's just crazy, you know. I'm glad to say I'm not like that anymore, and that, you know, that I can give back. And the main thing is, it's because I don't run to drugs, I run to God. And that's something that I've really had to learn, that he's, you know, more powerful than me, than any of my ideas or things could, you know, or any of the things that I think I can do. You know, he has plans for me, and they're good. And I believe that he's like that with all of his children. But it was because that veil of like spiritual blindness and being spiritually mute and spiritually deaf, it was just gone. Like I could actually hear and I could learn. And it's been great. If someone that you love is suffering, don't enable. Like there's a fine line between enabling and actually help. Don't give up on them, but don't enable them. Pray for them if that's what you believe in doing. I'm working towards my bachelor's in counseling with Grand Canyon University. And in 5 days from now, my son is coming back to live with me. My oldest son is coming back to live with me. I wouldn't change anything that happened for the world. It made me who I am, but I'm glad that I'm new now. I'm glad that God's made me a new creation. Trust me.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next week as we share more true stories of addiction.